I had told one of the guys, I said, let's make sure that all the men, we wear red right up through this month. And I told them to mention it. I see that some of you didn't get that memo, so I'm going to tell you today. And I thought, Mo, were you able to? No? Mo, you can do everything. Anyways, maybe even before the end of the service, there's some pictures of some suits for some men. Did you get that, Mo? You do have them? You can't get it up there. Well, you wave to me because in the middle of it, this is such an important point that I will stop in the middle of my message and show you these outfits because some of you need that. Yes. I want to say thank you to Ryan for sharing God's word last week. He did a great job, didn't he, though? And I was in Long Beach, California. We had an incredible morning last week, and several had come and given their hearts to Christ. And I don't know, it was 3,500 to 4,000 people. I spoke in the Long Beach Convention Center, and what a privilege and an honor that was last week. Thank you to everybody that helped here last week. Thank you for the cookies and the coffee this morning before you leave. I won't preach long, so make sure you go up there and get a little caffeine and sugar in you. It'll help you for the rest of the day. How many Steelers fans do we have in the house? How many Bills fans do we have in the house? Okay, I just want you all to know, those of you that stay home when the Bills play, you don't help them to win. When you come to God's house, it'll give them the edge on winning. How many of you believe in for that edge today? Amen? I feel we got some competition going on in the house this morning. It's okay. I want to read to you, actually, Brother Chuck read this in the opening, and I love this portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. If you have your Bible and you want to open it up and look at it, read it with me, underline it. I used to read the Christmas story every year when our kids were little, and I was reminiscing on that a little bit this morning. I'd bring the Bible out, and the kids would go, oh, Dad, you're going to read the Bible before we open up our gifts. And I just think it's so funny now that in their places and lives that God is working in them in such a way that even when sometimes your kids aren't receptive to it, just know something. God is sowing a seed into them that they will never get away from. Amen today? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. What a beautiful story that is. I was at an event earlier in the week, and a pastor was speaking, and he said, I don't get caught up in the Christmas story. He said, I just want to, you know, preach and give what God has laid on my heart. And I thought, you know, that's great, but the story of Christmas is the foundation of who and what we are to become as the people of God. And whatever the pain, whatever the hurt, whatever rejection that you may be feeling in this season, Jesus has come into the world to lift you and I out of that. He's come to comfort us. He's come to strengthen us. He's come to give you and I peace in our lives, great hope and he's come to give you and I deliverance. And I just want to tell somebody today that in your darkest, your most broken moment, God is working something out on your behalf. He has come to heal the sick. He has come to restore those who have been hurt and broken. He has come to be a part of the very smallest issues of your life. God wants to be a part of it. And as beautiful as this season is, it never fails that at this time of year, I will have someone approach me, call me, message me, and want to argue with me that this isn't the time that Jesus was born, that we should not be celebrating it this season. We shouldn't put up the trees and the lights. It's wrong, and you're in error. You're going to die and go to hell. How many of you are just so grateful for the trees and the beautiful in this house right now? And I've come to realize that although at some points in this season, yeah, we do go overboard. Sometimes people get a little crazy in the shopping lines. They get into arguments over trying to make somebody or their children happy. I don't know about you, but we've had times when our kids were little and growing up that we'd buy them something. We'd put all our energy trying to figure out exactly what they wanted, and they'd open it up, and they'd pull whatever gift that it was out of the box, and they'd begin and have more fun with the box that the gift came in than anything. And we used to say, there's that toy, you're going to take it, and you're going to love it and enjoy it. But the Lord has more for us than that. And there's people that want to debate and argue over everything. They want to debate, they want to argue over the rapture. Is it really going to happen? Is Jesus going to come before the tribulation or after? Is he going to come in the middle of it? They want to debate on the Sabbath day. Should we worship on a Saturday or worship on a Sunday? They want to argue whether tongues are for this time or not. They want to debate about divorce and being remarried. They want to debate about communion. You want to argue about it. Is the bread and the cup, is it the real body and the real blood of Jesus, or is it a symbol of who he is? They want to debate about baptism, whether somebody should be sprinkled or submerged, baptized in the name of Jesus, or baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all these arguments and all these divisions within the body of Christ keep people from coming together. They break homes and families and relationships up because we have a propensity. If we don't agree with you, then we got to reject you. And the reality of it is that Jesus is going to come, whether you believe it or not. He's coming again, whether it's before, during, or after a tribulation, I don't know. I used to know. I used to have it all figured out. But now I've just learned that if I love him, he'll take care of all of it for me. Come on. And we don't have to argue about what day it is to worship, because if you're truly a worshiper, you will worship him every day of the week. You won't wait until a particular day. And you can speak in tongues all day long, but if you can't speak kindness in English to somebody around you, you are wasting your breath today, my brother. And this season is so significant because the reality of who Jesus is for you and I has everything to do with this moment of our lives, him coming into the world. And when we get to heaven, he's not going to stand there with a checklist. You did this, you didn't do that, you should have done this, you didn't do that. He is going to want to know one thing and one thing only, and that's what you did with Jesus on this side of heaven. And the season is so incredible because the significance of you and I choosing who he is right now determines our eternal destiny. Believing in Jesus not only brings life, but it brings new things to our lives. In Matthew 1, 20 through 23, it says, after you consider this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And Mary's pregnancy was not the result of just a man. It was an impartation that was deposited in her that not only changed her life, but it changed all of our lives forever. And this would never have taken place if Mary had had relationships with another man. But because she allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to deposit in her, it would change all of us. And because she conceived by the Holy Spirit, the blood was now divine. His blood then and is today able to wash away all of our sin. Aren't you thankful for that today? And when we open our hearts up to Him and receive the seed of the Word of God into our lives, He begins to change everything and He causes all things to become brand new in our lives. And this is something that you and I, we don't have to debate, that I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And you can argue and try to debate that all you want, but you're never going to change that in my mind, because I was that person that could not understand where my life was going until Jesus came into my heart and into my life. And Christmas is a manifestation of this moment in our lives, that God came wrapped in human flesh and was born to give you and I life, and to give it to us more abundantly. So I just want to tell you today, don't miss the miracle of the season by getting wrapped up in nonsense, caught up in division, caught up in arguing, caught up in some nonsense that some mean-spirited person found on the internet somewhere and then took a bunch of scriptures and jumbled them up to try to make their point real. Jesus is the reason for our season, and He is alive today. And you and I, we're not going to live life like that. We're not going to live life in division. We believe that Christ has come and that He died and He gave His life for you and I so that we could live and that we could spread the love of Christ wherever we go. You and I are not just called to show love to people that walk through the doors of this building. You and I are called to spread God's love wherever we go and whoever we run into and whatever we encounter. We are to show God's love. And I want to encourage some of you, start in your home. Start right in your home. Do something incredible for your family. Show them love. Do something out of the box. You don't have to spend money. You can get up. You can make them their cereal before they get up and go to school. That would be a blessing in somebody's home today. Because it's not just enough to say happy holidays. We have to believe who He is and that He is working His love through us. And then Jesus came with a purpose. I love this. This might be one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. She'll give birth to a son. You are to give Him the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. Come on today. He saves people from their sins. The word save is the Greek word sozo. It means to keep safe and sound. It means to rescue from danger or destruction. It means to keep from injury or peril. I'm telling you, when I read this, I thought, yep, the Lord's done all of these for me. To save a suffering one from perishing. To save one suffering from disease. To make well, to heal, to restore, to help. That's what the word save means, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction. And I'm talking to some people here today that if it was not for God coming to save you, you were not only in danger of destruction, you were on a pathway fast to destruction. But when Jesus came, He stopped you from that and delivered you from the pain of that. The Bible says He saves from the penalty of judgment, to save from the evils that obstruct God's deliverance. He brings deliverance to you and I. Listen, if the enemy would have had his way, he would have destroyed you and I. And where I think about where I could have been or where I would be, what I would have become had Jesus not saved me, let there be no debate about that. That when I was at my worst, He was at His best. while I was away from him, while I was lost, when Jesus came in a dirty manger, he came to save dirty people like me from their sins. Romans 5, 6, you see that at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5, 8 says that God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know he was working on something before you ever said yes to him? You know that he was making a plan? He was putting people in front of you before you even knew what was happening to you? I look around this room and I could tell stories about many of you. You were messed up, jacked up from the floor up, and God was working in your life right at that moment. Come on, does anybody agree with what I'm saying? That's me? Preacher, you're talking to me this morning? Came to give me life. He came to give me hope. I was standing up next to Deputy Chris, and somebody came up and said, "Oh, don't arrest him and put him in jail." I said, "I was arrested once and put in jail. And if it had not been for the grace of God, I'd still be in jail." Amen, preacher? Not amen and about me being in jail. Maybe amen and about you being in jail. I don't know where I'd be, but aren't you glad that Jesus saves? And when he gets involved in our lives, he intervenes in our lives in areas we don't even know what he did. He brings people in front of us. When some of you were lighting up that joint or pouring that drink or shooting that in your arm, God was bringing the right people into your path to stop you from destroying your life so that you could be the person that he has called you to be. Come on, if that's you today, you ought to praise him in this house today. He spared us. He saved us. And I'm not ashamed for what he's done. Romans 3:23, of all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why he came, to give us life and to give it to us in a more abundant way. And then last, he saves, I love this, his people from the power of sin. You know, there's certain groups of people that say, well, God, he's only going to save this particular group. Those he foreknew, he also predestined to become born again, to become born in the image of his son. And some people think, well, you know, if he didn't choose me, I have no chance. Can I just turn that around here this morning? That when you say yes to Jesus, he becomes a part of your life and you become one of his people. Come on. Yeah, amen. Whosoever will, let them come. Let them call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there anybody saved in this house this morning? Come on. His people are the ones that said yes to him. His people are the ones that invited him in. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so no one can boast. 1 Peter 2, 9, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, I'm so grateful that he has called me one of his people. And he has empowered me. He has strengthened me. And the things that used to tear me down and tear me apart, they don't do it like they used to. Because of the power of Jesus that is living inside of me right now. Romans 6:14, sin need never again to be your master. For now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you are free under God's favor and under his mercy. Am I looking at any free people in his house today? Come on. If you love him, give him a praise this morning. Give him thanks this morning. Come on. I think this is a good moment to give the Lord a great praise in his house today because he saved us. Come on. Don't get tired of praising him. Praise him. He saved us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Close your eyes. I love you, Lord. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Saved us. You called us your people. Who are we to be called the people of God? My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord has reached out to many here today. He's transformed many lives today. For some of you, maybe there's children that you just don't get it. You've done all you know to do. Can I tell you, God's working in them? He's working a miracle in them? Everybody, just go ahead and stand up on your feet if you're able to this morning. Prayer people, come on down to the altar. Just your eyes closed, just in His presence, in His house this morning. Just a beautiful moment together. I feel His Holy Spirit reaching out to us. He's working in your life when you don't even know it. He's working in your family. He's working in your loved ones. If you're here today and you've not met Him as your Savior and your Lord, He wants to come into your life. Just your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a moment. God has transformed so many lives in this house today. There was a police officer a few months ago that was here. He said, I can't believe the people that you have. Some of them, I've busted their door down and taken them away in handcuffs, and now I see them walking in to church here. What's taking place? I said, God saved them. He delivered them. He doesn't leave us where we're at. He takes us from glory to glory into what we can be. Spirit of the living God, touch your people, I pray. Have your way in every life. Be real to each and every one of us in this season, God. May we never take for granted or take lightly what you have done and provided for us. I pray that for those who are hurting and broken and wounded today, those who are dealing with loss and lack, lift them up, encourage their lives, build their heart, I pray. Today in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. You need prayer for anything today. You want to give your heart to Christ? Come on down. These folks are here to pray with you. You just need somebody to help you get over a hump in life. Come on down. Let them pray with you and believe God with you. Stop at the table in the back. Have some coffee, some goodies. Love on one another. Spread God's love around today. I love you. God bless you.